All right, we are live across the interwebs, event icons. This is going to be a good one, guys. I am just so excited for this episode. It's going to be awesome. I've known this guest for a long period of time, and I'm so happy that he is now like working with us and in the industry and stuff, and I get to see him more often. And I'll explain how we met after the intro. But we're going to be talking about like how do you actually use events to grow your marketing and your events, and this idea of like what is event-led growth. And it's a term that Mark, our guest, has put together, and he's going to blow your complete mind, and I think that he's going to be one of the leading minds in the events industry, and we're just so happy to have him here. So let's go ahead and roll that intro and get rocking and rolling.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share hashtag event icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is hashtag event icons.
Woo! This is going to be a good one, guys. Our guest today, Mark Killens, is like one of my favorite people in the whole world. So Mark and I met actually when he was working at HubSpot and he was leading the entire Academy team. Will over here had barely heard of HubSpot and became a customer and said, you know what? I'm going to do all the certifications they have. I'm going to do every single certification. And I literally like canceled my, like I did no other work for like a month straight while I did all these certifications. And it meant that I was meeting with Mark. I was seeing his entire team all the time. And I just love them so much. And I hope that you guys liked my energy as well when we're in there. But it was so cool because it was such an amazing process to learn this very complex marketing tool. But Mark had built an entire process that taught people how to use this new marketing tool that no one had ever used before. And I'll let him tell a story about where he got from when he was working at HubSpot to where he's now in the events industry. But man, when I met Mark first in person when he came to Phoenix, I was just so excited that we took a picture. It was like meeting a celebrity. So I can't, no further delay. I got to bring him up. Mark Killens in the house. Mark, thank you so much for coming to join us.
Oh, Will, that intro, I don't even know how to like speak after that intro.
Well, back in the day, I have to get this all recorded because I don't think it exists anywhere outside on the interwebs. But we used to give you guys house points because we love like at Endless, we love like giving like points to Gryffindor, points to Ravenclaw and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I will give you 1 million points. I think that will satisfy you for the rest of your life. To Gryffindor for being on the show today.
Oh, that's very kind. That's a great inside joke. It's so great to like be reconnected.
Yeah, 100%.
We spent a lot of time at HubSpot on things, and yeah, I mean, my journey started pre-HubSpot when I was actually a HubSpot customer in 2008-2009.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how I conceived kind of the idea for something like HubSpot Academy. I was using HubSpot during the Great Recession. We used it to save this very small business. There was like, you know, I joined, there was like 12 people. I left, it was like doubled in size in terms of people. The revenue was growing good. But I was using HubSpot to generate leads, right? The classic early inbound kind of use case and value prop. And I actually met someone, Brian Whaley, former HubSpotter, great person, at the first ever HubSpot user group event.
Oh, first no way. One. Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm guessing it was in Cambridge or Boston.
It was just actually outside of Boston. It was actually at Mark Roberge's, the former CRO of HubSpot's father's company. And the events have a profound impact on my life because at that event, I met Brian. He became my referral, if you will, to HubSpot. And then a few months later, I joined, and kind of the rest is history. So that's how it all started.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then so for those who don't know, the HubSpot Academy is basically like, I think you guys have pioneered the how you're going to train a SaaS company and like build this like latching of like teams can get certified and all these things like that. And now there's inbound certification, inbound marketing certifications, all that stuff is your kind of brainchild for putting that all together. What brought you from HubSpot Academy and then you kind of like moved on from that and, you know, had next level of your career? Where'd you go from there?
Yeah. So like HubSpot Academy was, you know, a huge amazing experience for many reasons. First off, like, it wasn't me, it was this amazing team of people, and Academy then created this community. You know, it was focused on teaching people, educating people, sharing great content, and helping them get to these different outcomes and how we could help impact someone's life, basically. Mm-hmm. Help someone, you know, get that next job, get a promotion, grow their business, you know, all these different things. And that then led me to understand that, you know, Academy was started as this idea to do customer education and better customer retention and upselling for the, you know, for HubSpot, the business. But then we said, wait a minute, we can use this for all these different purposes, for lead gen, pipeline creation, et cetera, community building. So as I, like, my journey at HubSpot unfolded, I started to realize more and more that, like, this idea of, like, creating demand through not just content, but, like, education that sparks a community, that gets people talking, that, you know, it's all these other ideas, and also through events, led me to Drift, which I was then focused on, that exact thing. I was the VP of content and community. I actually had four or five teams that were part of my group. I was super lucky to work at Drift for like 3.5 years. And then that led me to this company I've been at for like 5 months now, AirMeet, where it gave me this idea, the experience at Drift gave me this idea that events, should be something that a business uses way more than most do today. And here's what I mean by that. Events at the end of the day will, let me ask you actually, event, yeah. Why do you do an event? What's the purpose of an event?
Well, I think ultimately it will be bring people together, like change the behavior of those people. And like my hope is that I don't end up spending too much money doing it and I can break even in some sort of way, right?
Yeah. I mean, always stay on budget, right? Always.
Yeah, exactly.
Joining people together, though, you nailed it, right? You join people together. What is a company at the end of the day? Like, you know, to be successful, to grow a business, you have to create relationships. How do relationships get created? By having people come together and meet and interact and build relationships and build trust, right? So when I think about an event and companies say, yeah, we do some events, we do like a one-off big, you know, summits, we do user conference, we do some field events, that's all interesting. But to really grow a business, especially now with the trends that have emerged over the last, you know, 5-10 years, where there's been this huge shift from doing a lot of things in a physical location to doing a lot of other things, from exercise to sports to gaming to meetings to events in a digital format, events should be seen as this strategic imperative that a business needs to do at all facets of the organization, from employees joining together more, coming together through the power of a great event experience, from your, you know, new people that are at the very beginning of the customer journey that are just like learning about your business and you're trying to help them discover more about like the problems they have and how you can help them, all the way through to your customer advocates. Events are this really special, magical thing that can create bonds between people and people in a business, people and a brand and a community. And I just feel like most businesses don't utilize the full power and extent of events. And that's at the end of the day, like the genesis for this idea of event-led growth. And we can get more into that if you want, but we did a lot of this at Drift. I saw a lot of this at HubSpot, and I wanted to now teach people basically how they could use events in a new way, in a way that's going to really create exponential kind of growth.
Ooh, I like it. Well, probably because a lot of our audience right now probably may not be experienced with Drift's products and HubSpot products. So like this term of growth is like very centered a lot in these products. And like, I feel like that's like your life. If you're in these kind of like some of these marketing SaaS tools is term growth, but what does growth mean to you in terms of a business? Like what does that growth mean? And then we'll track back to talk about specifically how do you think events help grow this, but what does growth mean for you in a business?
I mean, the traditional sense is like, you know, growing your revenue or profit. But I think the way you think about it now, you have to think about it now, is engagement. How do you grow the engagement with your team, your employees? How do you grow the engagement with your customers? How do you grow the engagement with your buyers? How do you grow the engagement with your community? With just people that like, you know, like what you do, like your brand, like your events, like your content. So to me, it's this idea of like engagement exposure. Like you need your brand to, you know, have good exposure. That makes sense. But brand exposure isn't good enough anymore. You need to create deeper connections and this idea of deeper engagement with people to create something in their mind that they, you know, might not keep at the forefront, but it's in the background And when they need something like your solution, they're like, wait a minute, I had a great experience with that brand, or someone recommended that to me. And like, wait a minute, like I'm asking my friend for a recommendation on this thing, and they remember their back of their mind that they had a great thing with this brand. And like, that's the thing that you should go look at, right? So it's all about like having these moments of engagement over time that build up to affinity. And that affinity could manifest itself in a number of different ways, right? Like some of the examples I just gave, it could manifest itself into like pure, like I'm going to become a customer and use your product, and that's revenue and then profit for the business. But it's all about growing your engagement with the people that want to engage with you, that need to engage with you, and that you need and want to engage with.
Ooh, okay. I feel like this is like, so like one reason why I wanted to bring on the show to talk about this is I feel like this is so important right now. And it's like such a critical moment for event professionals, marketing professionals, because everything is changing. Everything's like, not only has everything changed because of the pandemic and all those different reasons, but like everything does feel like it's totally changed for me. And you and I have talked about like how email marketing even has like changed. Like everybody's doing it now. So, you know, the simple idea of like you create content and then you call those people and be helpful to them doesn't really work the same way. You know, we obviously know traditional advertising doesn't work in the same way. And, you know, I think that we're like at this point where like everyone's looking like, what's the next thing that's going to truly help drive revenue and business that you're talking about? But also like, you know, I think all the other things that come up with it, like brand loyalty and all those things like that. And I definitely do. I'll agree with you. Like, I think like events feel like that thing that like, if you can have a really great event, it can like solidify like just everything, all the relationships you have. Let's use it in this exact standpoint, like, right? Like you and I had engaged digitally a lot via like the courses I was taking and like email correspondence and things like that. But then you guys started doing the webinars where you're individually training, and that's when I started building affinity with like the instructors and HubSpot. And then really it got like further solidified when I met you in person at a HUC meeting. And it was like, oh my gosh, this guy who's been training me and like using his product, now I feel like these people really care about me as well. And that like that relationship was just like, boom, like really, really solidified. That's what it feels like, is like almost that next level of marketing that's like really hard to break. Because yeah, like everybody's doing content and everybody's pushing it out, but if you can build an event that just builds that bond so deep in that affinity, like that's like next level, right?
I mean, you just nailed event-led growth, right? In many ways. And then we met at Inbound, which is another type of event. So it was like these training events. That's one type of event. We met at this user group type of event. Then we met at the summit event. So like right there's three engagements at a minimum, right? That happened, right? And it's three different types of events. So it's almost thinking about, we need to redefine what an event is. Because if you think at the purest form of the definition of an event, Will, right? If you actually Google like the definition of an event, it's not like what like event marketers or like marketers think an event is. It's not like, hey, let's get the user conference to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a gathering. That's what an event is. You know what I mean? And we've been doing this for all of humanity. This is why I think it's so innately human, because, you know, we're tribal. Seth Godin talks a lot about this, the idea of like the campfire mentality, you know, coming together and forming those bonds. This is like innately in our DNA. So, but again, companies aren't thinking at this level enough, because they're thinking, well, before pandemic, they just basically did in-person events, and they also did crappy webinars. I gotta be honest, right? Hopefully the webinars we did were a little bit more engaging, but still, we were limited by the tools, the technology, right? It's tough.
100%. I think you guys were using like WebEx back then. Like, no shame on WebEx, but like it was before people were like, before Zoom was even, I remember that like people were like, we have to show you how to, like part of your guys' training was how to use WebEx, but now everyone like understands at least at a basic level.
That was 2011, 12. Those are the days. It's crazy. It's only 10 years ago, but that's, so much has changed and will continue to change. Now you're saying like the metaverse or the omniverse, right? And you're saying AR, VR, like it will continue to evolve. So like a business, you can never not be adapting. You know, as soon as you start to do that, you're going to start to just be in a sustain mode. And then what happens after sustaining, you're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
So how do you continue to like think about like, you know, your business as a startup or as a scale up? I think of business in four ways. There's startup, scale up, sustaining, surviving. And you could almost plot all of the businesses in the world in one of those four places, right? Mm-hmm. And some of it is like, you know, actually from their financial standpoint, like where would you put it from their mindset standpoint, from their product innovation standpoint. But when you think about a business, the best place to be is like, you're always, you know, trying to reinvent yourself. You're trying to like, create new sparks. And a lot of the times to create those sparks, you need your customers, you need the community to help you do that, right? Of course, you need a great team, but how do you create those sparks? You come together, share ideas. You come together to talk about things. Like, I learned so much from folks like you that attended those online training events, online, you know, webinars, and then the hugs we went to. I went to like 100 plus hugs, HubSpot user groups, inbounds, you know, inbounds next week. If you're listening live, it's, you know, literally the beginning of September. But like, those moments are the moments you kind of remember. I don't remember a ton from content. I do remember probably more, and you could clarify this for everyone. Do you remember more from content you read or like structured education, like the courses?
Definitely. This, like, that was one thing. Like, I remember I finished my certification, and quickly, shortly after, you guys were like, we can't scale up training each person, and like giving them feedback on their landing pages one by one. And like, that shut down. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh man, like that was, I got really lucky that I got like every single feature I got feedback on and had, and that we showed it in front of other people that were our peers and stuff. And that was so impactful. Like if anyone on my marketing team right now, cause we make them all get certified, they're like, they don't have to do that. They just have to watch a ton of videos and then do the work. And then someone grades it, you know, like they don't have it as enjoyable, I think, as I did, for sure.
But that's a problem. That's why, you know, actually I think, you know, folks like HubSpot Academy and others, like, you have to have now a much different balance. If you only serve up asynchronous content and just have on-demand learning and things like that, just you're missing out on that engagement exposure. Yes.
Yeah,
someone
yeah.
going through your course, someone downloading your content, someone engaging with your media, it's engagement. But if you can, you know, pair that with an event experience that you just described, hey, I can ask these experts these questions. I can have them do a live 60-second teardown of my landing page or of my homepage, right? That people remember that probably far more than some of the other stuff we just talked about.
100%. Yeah. I can remember something. I'll share like something really personal since I've been doing this podcast for so long. But I remember one time you guys had a class at like 6 a.m. or something, because everything was like East Coast primarily time, and I couldn't do like one at like later in the day or whatever the heck was. So I did like a 6 a.m. class. And I remember I was towards the end. I was like taking a shower while listening to like the beginning part of the teaching part. And then we had to like hop on and talk. And I remember being like, change dress as fast as I could to hop on and talk about my landing page or something like that. But I remember that moment and that learning experience and things like that way more than like, if you told me right now, when's the last time I watched a YouTube video that maybe taught me how to make better landing pages? I have no idea. Like, it definitely doesn't stick on there too. So like, probably what our future is in terms of marketers in a lot of ways is not only serving up this asynchronous blog content, you know, podcast content, things like that, but like doing that and having to mix in the live experiences that you do as well. Like, kind of like, I guess, like event icons, right? Like it's you can pre-record, listen to this anytime you want, but really the fun experience is when you come in person.
100%. 100%. And like, folks, if questions, comments, disagree, agree,
yes.
engage. We want you to engage. If you're listening, like listening right now live. Cause like that's where the magic happens, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times after one of these types of mini events, you know, a webinar, a short online event, a training event, a user group, at least almost every time I would like meet someone and there'd be always like one action past that, like another meeting, an email exchange, something happens. And like, isn't that the point? It's like, have a great shared experience, but also have an experience that creates some type of connection with at least one other person. I think it's just a win. If you can create a connection with just one other person during that 30-minute, 50-minute, 60-minute, 3-day, multi-day event, it's a success basically, right? I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely agree with that for sure. Real quick, you totally remind me. I was involved in the conversation. If you have questions for Mark, ask away in the comments. I definitely, I have a feeling this is going to be like a multi-part episode because I just don't, Ark and I can go forever, I think, on this one. But ask away in the comments if you have questions. We're happy to answer them, and we'll answer them live right now. So one of the two parts I want to talk about that you kind of mentioned is co-creation as part of it potentially too. Do you think that co-creation creates a more impactful growth from an event than just a purely I attend the event, I experience it, I didn't have any part in creating it?
And when you say co-creation, is it like the attendees helping you kind of co-create, shape the event?
Yeah, maybe it's like something like, hey, let's say, for example, we're going to do yoga, a thing, whatever it is. We want some attendees to help us lead the yoga. Or it's something like, hey, attendees, you can submit sessions and you're the ones helping create the content as well. Basically, any sort of action where it's not just the organizer downward, but it's like a circle.
I think you're hitting on two things. One is experiential piece of an event, which is way more important for in-person now than ever before. Like if I had to do an in-person event, you know, the ratio would be two experiences for every one content session.
Ooh, yeah.
That's it. But anyway, that's all I would do.
So if I agree with 10, that
100%. Yeah, 10 content sessions, including the keynotes, etc. You'd have 20 ways attendees could experience something at the event or yes. around the event.
Nice. So I think it might even be higher. Like I've been pushing people to think really radically of like, do one keynote for your one keynote per day and do no other content and make the rest of it experiential or interaction based or something like that. Because like you just need people to get one idea per day, maybe.
Yeah. One idea and then multiple connections, right? Multiple experiences. I love that. Yeah. You're taking it to the extreme. Fantastic. And then the other thing you kind of asked in that question was around like curation of the experience through the community, through attendees. And I think that's exactly what you should be doing. I don't see it often. It's got to be something I think we need to teach marketers, because the other thing that we can talk about is like there's a skills gap in how to put on great events these days. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that know how to do great in-person events, but even that now has to be disrupted to the point we just made about a 2-to-1 or a 5-to-1 experience to, you know, session ratio. So this whole space around events, webinars, training, internal events, there's a skills gap that is lacking in terms of how to use the latest technology, how to create great experiences with that technology, how to actually match what the attendees want to see, and how to actually integrate an event into the customers, the business's, you know, strategic initiatives and journey, right? That imperative, basically. Yeah. There's just so much that has to be now kind of learned, because a lot of these things have changed for many reasons. But one of the most important things that you keep hitting on is like there's a saturation of all these, you know, other things like content, like even podcasting now, right? Like it's just there's a huge saturation. So how do you do something that's almost always different? Something that's almost always different is a live experience. Like if we did this again tomorrow, this would be different.
Completely different. Yeah. Even if we tried to ask the same questions and remember the same things, it would be different every single time.
Uh-huh. It was always different. You would have different energy. I would have different energy. It'd be probably a different audience. Some people would be the same, but all these things. So when you think about like curating an event experience, I think it's spot on. Like one thing we could have done for this, just as an example, is like you and I could have done a post on LinkedIn saying, hey, we're going live in like a day or two. What questions do you have? What do you want to talk about? Do you want to come join us? Like we could have done that for this right now, right?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we could have.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Well, I want to emphasize too, like a point that you made, not necessarily related to event-led growth, but the idea like it's always different. You know, psychologically, right, there's this idea of hedonistic adaptation. I might have mentioned this on this podcast in the last couple of episodes, but the idea that like we get used to doing the same things over. You really want that Tesla, you buy the Tesla for the first 30 days, you love it, it's amazing, but then it resets to your baseline happiness, right? And you become like, it's totally happy, like you feel unhappy again, because like basically it's always constantly doing that. But experiences and events have this ability to always make it where for some reason you don't ever adapt to an event. And even if you're going back to the same event, so I just went to a big music festival in Seattle, I'm going to probably go back to it again next year, because I know every single time I go back, it'll be slightly different. And that every single time I go, there'll be different people, there'll be different experiences, all those things like that. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like you're saying, it's always different, creates that behavior change for people to constantly come back to it. But, you know, like I'm guessing now I'm thinking about like in terms of like content marketing, you create a really freaking great ebook that like raises their level of happiness to like this, but then it flatlines and you know gets this. How are you going to get them to go even further? Like there's only so much you can do before an ebook is a certain level of good, right?
Well, and plus they download or they read all these other ebooks, right? And even video tries to fix that, but even video can only go so far, right? Like, you know, like just on-demand video content or watching, you know, Netflix shows, unless you have like great storytelling ability, right?
Yeah,
so 100%. You hit the nail on the head. What is that term again? Tell me.
Hedonistic adaptation. and there's a really good video Ali Abdaal does called "Can Money Buy Happiness?" And he's like basically like talking about like what sort of actions can buy happiness. And he talked about like events and experiences and travel. Oh, it can actually buy happiness because it's so different every single time, and it's novel in so many different ways, which is pretty cool.
And by the way, like as we talk about all this, like the other reason why I want to have event-led growth succeed is, yeah, from a customer standpoint and a business standpoint, but it's also from just an event marketer standpoint. Because an event marketer, because again, I manage the event team at Drift, two great people, Jana, she was in the early days when I joined, and then Bethany, you know, they were the leaders of the event team. They are phenomenal event leaders. One's at Datto, another one's at Sixth Sense now. And they're always like fighting. We're always fighting like budget. How do we prove our value? How do we align? Like, no. If the company, like the CMO, the CEO, you know, the core executive team understands that events are not a nice to have or like important, but like, I don't know. But like, no, we have to do this because this is how we grow the business. It's how we engage people and then turn that engagement into pipeline, into revenue, into customer retention purposes. Then it's like, it's going to be easier for event marketers and marketers overall. So I'm trying to do that for like, you know, at the end of the day, like the people that have been doing events for so long. It's just, I just wanted to call that out, you know?
Yeah. No, like we did like a whole, we did this like summit as part of like Ily Alive, and we did this, what was it called? And Nick's going to kill me. But we did this basically this like global summit. We brought together like top 20 influencers in the events industry. We said, how do we avoid being commoditized as an events industry? Right. And how do we avoid this idea that like everyone sees this as a party planner? And this was kind of from the live events experience and way before the pandemic on here. And what was interesting is that we kept coming back to this idea, like you said, like that the biggest challenge is like, how do we prove our worth and show that this is actually worth all this time on here? And like you said, like making it central, integral part of what they're trying to do from a business standpoint. And I think that's exactly what event-led growth is. I think you and I, we've been talking about like, how can we dive even deeper in that. And that might have to be a whole separate episode or a webinar or something like that. But one question I have for you when it comes to event-led growth, what things are people doing that you see commonly at events that are not aligned with the idea of event-led growth? So maybe an example of this is like blowing too much money on food and beverage. But I'll let you – any things that you're seeing that like are like – you're like, this is not helping event-led growth.
So it starts with actually understanding what are the business goals for the next 6 to 12 months? What are like the problems in the business? And how could some type of event, either in-person, digital, maybe hybrid, help solve those business goals? So like you're not thinking about like the event objectives and like what it's trying to do to influence something. You're starting inversely.
Even deeper.
You're starting with like, what are the business outcomes and problems and goals, not at the event level. And so like, if I was, you know, an event marketer, director of events, VP of events, like I would be very keen to like flip my idea around what am I actually trying to do and achieve, right? And, you know, the events team typically is thought of as like in-person events, the field events. They're not really doing the webinars, maybe. They're not doing the customer training events. They're not doing the user group meetups. There's a lot of teams typically within a larger marketing organization that do events, even if it's just one person. It could be three people in three different small teams within a 30-person marketing team doing events. But their mind is always like, I'm doing this one thing and it's fine, but like it's still disconnected from this bigger thing. And it's like, and that's the thing that I had an issue with at HubSpot, right? Like, you know, we tried at times to integrate, you probably saw this, where like integrate HubSpot user groups and inbound together. Right. There was moments.
Yeah. I remember like we had a Phoenix hug, like dinner thing like that. Yeah.
and like the HubSpot user group leaders would have a mini meetup at inbound. I went to those. Remember that? Like, so like, but like, it's still like, you know, you had to register for the hug, the inbound thing. It's like, but like at least HubSpot was thinking about it in a way that made sense. So like, wait a minute, if we just continue to engage people throughout these different events, through Academy events, HubSpot user group, inbound, webinars. It's engagement exposure, right? It's great. So to go to your question about like, you know, how to kind of shift it, it's like first thinking differently about like, what are you trying to achieve and how is it going to help the business? Not really how it's going to help your maybe even just marketing team. It's more about the business. Like say the business is trying to, this is the second point I'm going to make. The business is trying to launch new messaging, launch a new big product. For that to really stick, you know, it's going to take a lot of time and consistency and saying the same things over and over again in slightly different ways to slightly different people in different, you know, channels and stuff. Guess what? Events, the right events with the right experience with the right audience can help with that tremendously. Like, let me sign up to do that, right? Like, great, right? Another big thing that a big company does, right? Product launches. It's tough sometimes, but like what we always try to do at Drift and what we're trying to do at Aramid is like, what's the roadmap for the product? What are the themes and stories? How can we craft different events around this? And you'll see more of this come out in the fall, you know, with Aramid soon, actually. But like, that's a strategic thing the business is trying to do. We're launching new products. We want to then create a series of different events for different audiences about that over the next 6 months. Because that, you know, if you do one thing, it's not going to last. You have to keep consistently doing it, right? Oh, interesting. Yeah. Another thing we're trying to do, we're trying to go into a new region. Saw this many times. We're trying to go into Europe. Guess what? Let's create an event Europe. Strategy charter for digital and in-person events for the European region. Yeah. That's event-led growth. And then the key to event-led growth, in my opinion, is using the event content and using the insights. So it's the content, the insights, and the The content, the insights, and I guess you could say the data. I wasn't thinking about the data.
Yeah, like the engagement.
I'll come back. Using these things to produce other things down the road. So let me give you an example. So, and some people do this today, but again, this is where I think more people could be doing this. Okay, all of these mini events that you've been doing, you know, right now, this is a great example. You're turning this into a podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you, by the way, put this onto YouTube as a playlist?
Yeah, it goes on a YouTube playlist, becomes a blog post. It's turned to audio only for a podcast platform. It'll get turned into a bunch of social media clips.
Yep. And all of those things help you kind of grow your business, right? Some people find you through these different ways, right?
Yeah. My goal is like, these are all little things that then drive back to like either us or back to this podcast, which eventually the podcast leads back to us, right?
Isn't that event-led growth? So my if I had a suggestion for you, and I'm not trying to sell you, you would use something like Aramid, which can stream live to LinkedIn, but you could also have a very engaged audience in Aramid, and you could do a lot more with this event if it was an Aramid plus LinkedIn Live. We're actually doing that with someone very soon. So like, that's just taking what you're doing now, which is event-led growth, to the next level. And like, have you ever done Event Icons, like a get-together?
Yeah. So I can give some like kind of history of this because it's definitely simplified mainly because I don't have as many resources as I time. This was my only podcast at one point. So I put like lots of energy into it. Now I have three. So there's just like, I'm spread a little thin. But what we did in the beginning was it started on Blab, which is like Blab was like the platform separate from everything, but could bring tweets and stuff like that in. Then it went to, I think like GoToMeeting or like Zoom or whatever it was. And we were then like, well, why don't we also just live stream it to social media? And we started doing that to drive them back to landing page, and that actually worked really well. We took only questions is if you submitted on a landing page and you were in the Zoom room, you could do those sort of things. And then we started doing these live recordings at conferences. So you can like go back, and we'll still probably do a couple more this year, is just go record at a conference and literally like pull our influencers in as we're doing it. And sometimes people will like literally sit in and listen to the recording as it's happening. And it was super duper successful. Like that's, I think, one reason why this podcast has had so much longevity. It has so much influence within the industry as well.
I mean like, so it's all these things, right? It's some in person, and by the way, this podcast obviously built a community.
Yeah, right? 100%.
So that's the other 100%. that's the other natural thing that happens with in a more event-led growth type strategy. It will really spark and foster a community.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's why, like, having, I think, community, like, you have to have a community after you have the event. Otherwise, like, you're basically, it's like leaving all the money on the, if we talk about business, all the money on the table, but also, like, it's leaving all the engagement on the table. It's like, oh, hey, I built this amazing cake over the class of 3 years, or three days, and now I'm just going to, like, leave it out for another year and let it spoil, right? Like,
yeah, and it's also, and, like, you just used the word event. I would just change it to be plural, so it's events. Because like, how many episodes is this puck? Is this event that you're doing right now? With the puck?
This is like 500, 600, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, first off, congratulations.
Thanks. So I don't. Well, I was like, oh, it's just Blab. I'm just gonna do Blab for a couple episodes.
And then, well, no, but like, I would say like, not even like 0.5% of all podcasts get to that. It might be 0.1%. I mean, it's like you're in like, but no one probably keeps you going is because you have these formats that are really mini events in many ways, mm-hmm. or part of a bigger event. And 100%. It keeps the energy up. It keeps it different. It goes back to that idea of like, every time you do it live, it feels different.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. I think one of the great things, I mean, they talk about like from a marketer's perspective about doing it this way, using an event to drive your content too, is that it's, you know, when you talk about sitting down, I think we were talking about this earlier this week, was like, it's so hard to somebody sit down, come up with a topic, do the interview, come get all the content. But like, when you just decide like, hey, we're going to do a live stream and just like talk and do these things, like we're coming up with so much stuff that we would never probably ever thought of. But because it's like a live format and it's, you know, it's engaging, we got like Sean in the audience right now asking questions, like it adds that energy back to us in a lot of ways, I think.
But like where can I see these questions? Where are the questions?
I can bring this question up just to give like everyone behind the scenes on how this works. I think this question starts to progress a little bit off topic on here, mm-hmm. but we'll go for it. So Sean asked, how do we use virtual platforms to encourage in-person attendance in here? Mm-hmm. So I think this maybe I'll try to frame this in a way that leads comes into event-led growth. How can people use virtual events and virtual platforms and things like that to then drive to in-person attendance? And then how do you think that that's a part of the kind of like, I'll use a terrible word, funnel of like a part of a business? And I think one of the things is I want to add in, because I was thinking about this too when you're talking about business. We talk a lot about sales and marketing, but this can be done for HR, for employee engagement. It can be done for support where you need to teach people a new feature and product, things like that. I think every aspect of the business can have its own kind of event on here too. But in this case, let's maybe look at it as this seems like almost like a marketing funnel that's getting created in some ways. How does virtual events encourage in-person attendance, do you think?
I have two great examples of this. This is great. Thank you for the question, Sean. Love it. So at Drift, when the pandemic started, you know, we were really only doing in-person events and some like webinars. It was like, and we were using like a pretty unengaging webinar, you know, product. Pandemic happens, like, oh, made us like, you know, rethink. So we did this whole thing, as 7 or 8 of them, called RevGrowth. RevGrowth created like a brand within itself. And like, it was like, I mean, talk about co-marketing partners and partners, by the way, you should always have partners with your events. We can talk about that strategy a little bit, like maybe later, but like RevGrowth created this momentum, this wave, if you will. Then when we did our first in-person event in March of 2022, this year, we had a captivated audience, right? Mm. So it's like, we could use things. So the last like digital RevGrowth we did, you know, we really used it to help people understand, hey, we're coming out with Drift Flash. Right, we're coming out with this big in-person event in Miami, you know, come to it, right? And we started to then incorporate those themes and storytelling into these other smaller digital events that we did leading up to Flash, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. I think number one, like you got to think about your events and can you put a brand to them? Like that's a brand, right? Yep. What you did here with Event Icons. Yep. And then secondly, can you think of events as episodic content? So something we're doing at AirMeet now is Eventions, the series that's 6 parts, it's actually gonna be 12 parts, we're gonna extend it because the feedback's so good, in 3 mini events, mini meaning like 60 minute events that we've done over the last, you know, 6 weeks, we've generated 900 registrations, 600, don't quote me on this exactly, Will, but like I think it's around 600 total attendees, right? Cool. All this engagement, and over time when AirMeet does an in-person event sometime in 2023, guess what? Like now we have built up this relationship with these people and, you know, hopefully some of them can join with us, right? And we can have even a special meetup at that in-person mm-hmm. event that's maybe like literally like about like this series, this show almost, this event, live adventure that we're like, you know, going to do other things with at the event, right? So that's just one idea. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like you have to create these like waves. I keep going back to this idea of like waves and momentum. Mm-hmm. And to bring your community together in an in-person way, it has to be about experience and not as much about content. You can do great networking at virtual digital events now, but it's got to be like what we talked about like maybe 10, 20 minutes ago, that like ratio of 5 to 1 or 2 to 1 of experiences to content. And it's not like it used to be where there's like, you know, multi-track sessions, et cetera, do these things. And like, you have like maybe like an hour, 30 minutes for networking, like, and happy hours don't work. Will happy hours. Don't do them anymore.
Don't
completely get rid of them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Beautiful. Thank you. Because like,
unless you like, they need to eat anyways. And you're just like, hey, I'm going to put everyone, they have to eat and stuff. But like, just, yeah, they'll naturally go on there, but don't use it as your, like, that's your mainstay networking, I'll say.
No, the only way I would do a happy hour now is if there was live entertainment, and I would never position it as a happy hour. And it's all about the experience that you'll remember from a great live performer. And there might be like non-alcoholic and alcoholic drinks, but it's not. And then there might be a place off to the side where people could naturally network if you're really smart, where the music isn't as loud. That's the way I would do that. Like, I would not, you know?
Yeah, I think there might be some value, and I'll be actually testing this a bit, I think, is that I wonder too, like, when you talk about if you have a really strong virtual audience or a virtual community, bringing them together might be good for happy hour, because like at that point they've never met in person, so the impact of them doing it is great. But do not use this as like, I need to get people they've never met before, they don't know who each other are, and then I'm gonna network them together. Like,
yeah, and if the question is more about like, you know, can you have the in-person and virtual audience interact with each other at like one hybrid, I would like, it's two different audiences.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. There's no like hybrid happy hour for sure.
Well, and there's no hybrid. You need to treat a hybrid event as two events. I know there's like a lot of like strong opinions there. Like, my strong opinion is if you just do a hybrid event, it's live stream, then it's a TV show. It's a live stream. It's a sporting event. A hybrid event that has digital and in person has two hosts, has two audiences, two different experiences. Yes, they might be using the same hashtag. Fine. That's good. Right. But like, I mean, like, look at Inbound this year. I mean, Inbound's the best example. Like, I just logged into their platform today. Like, that Inbound experience on the digital side, my goodness, that is like an event within itself. I think they're thinking about 65 or 75,000 people online and about 10,000 people in person.
That's nice.
So like, it's two different events, Will.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We'll go down rabbit hole. I think everyone's heard my opinions on this podcast.
Okay, I'm done. I know you and I have maybe slightly like,
slightly different opinions. But I think yours is better than most people's that I've heard. So, okay, so back to event-led growth in this way. So maybe this might be its own conversation on here too. And we're getting towards the last like 18 or so minutes left of this episode. So I don't know if I'm opening up too deep of a rabbit hole, but what do you think is the process? You talked about how aligning the event's objectives or starting with the business objectives before you even think about what your event objectives are. How do you think that you can do that? Because I think for a lot of event professionals, marketing directors, you know, if you're a CMO or a CEO listening to this conversation, this is like clicking your brain. You're like, I already know this. Okay, we're just going to move forward on this. But my question is, for the people who may not have direct power to the C-level, how can they get involved as part of the higher level objectives and be involved as part of that to make sure the event is actually moving the needle on those objectives? Is it just like send an email to CEO and be like, I want this to be a main part of what it is. Well, what do I have to do to get that, you know, make sure that what's the objective? Like, how would you do that process for creating that alignment?
I mean, to me, it's a little bit of like education. So it's like going back to them with this idea of like, hey, have we ever thought about events in a different way? And like, so there's like some education that has to be involved. So you could do that angle, right? And I'm happy to help you do this, by the way, because, you know, look, like, this is a super new kind of maybe idea for a lot of people. And like, I just want to help people like do more events because I think it's the best thing probably a business can do. Anyway, sure. The second way, though, is like asking questions to your direct, you know, manager, boss, and that might be the CMO, that might be someone right below the CMO, but like, hey, so I'm really thinking about our events a bit differently now. I want to make sure that they have great customer impact, you know, and they also have great impact on the bottom line of the business, that they're helping the business truly solve our problems and help with help the business with their strategic initiatives, like, you know, our big rocks, the big things we're trying to do this year. Can you give me some insight, if you don't know these things, like into those things, right? Like, I want to like work with you to align on that. And I guarantee, just from a career standpoint, you ask those types of questions, that manager, that director of marketing, VP, CMO would be like, whoa, okay. you're thinking about this like the way I think I like that, like the way you should be thinking about this, like that, because like then now they're thinking of you as someone who's not just producing the event, but you're thinking at a strategy level, which is what's required at the VPC level, right? You're mm-hmm. thinking of it, so it's almost like behooves you to ask these questions. And if for some reason, like, you know, from your direct manager, you can't get answers, then I would just try to go to someone else. I would try to go maybe to the CMO then, or someone else, right? Because I don't think anyone in a C-level position, if you position it like, I want to help growth and also create, you could say things like, I want to make sure that we're doing this efficiently, especially in today's climate. I want to make sure we're really focused on ROI. I want to make sure we're focused on the right messages. And you know, I think we can really do a lot by making sure our events are integrated more across the customer journey and across the company. So I need your help in making sure I understand what are those things that are important to the business. No one's going to be like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that you lost me, or like, I don't know. Like that's music.
Yeah,
like,
go away. You know,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just having the confidence in like actually doing that, which I know can be sometimes hard, just to go out and do it. Right. Because at the end of the day, I learned this from HubSpot, and you probably have heard this, right, Will? Like solve for the customer.
Yeah.
Customer
yeah.
First, then the business, then the team, then yourself. So if you can think of it like that, right, you know, and just have a different kind of mindset, I really believe that that will change the game for you, your team, and then ultimately, hopefully, the business and its customers, because you're putting the spotlight on something that can have real impact. Because no one can deny, when you go to an event, doesn't matter if it's in person or a good like online event, you feel something, you learn something, you probably have a moment of you remembering something. As again, it's got to be to a certain level, right? That's where I think a lot of online events have like this stigma, which is bad, we have to change, because it's like, oh, it's boring, it's dull, it feels the same. It goes back to my comment on like skill gaps and how to do them. But you leave with something that, like, you know, sticks with you.
I love it. Well, we're going to start putting a bow on this one. Because I think we're going to get back a couple more times. We're going to work way more content together, because we got so much stuff in common to talk about. but as we start to wrap things up, you know, like, you've obviously been really well integrated into like so many different businesses. And like, I think you're just very forward thinking in how you're doing everything. What like resources or, you know, apps, tools, things like that, that are your favorite places to learn, or things that may help make you think better or help you plan events better or be a better leader? Like, basically, what are all your favorite resources that you have that you want to share with the audience?
Newsletters.
Okay. Newsletter. Okay. So do you get them straight to your email inbox too?
What's that?
You have them get straight to your email inbox?
Straight. So I have two emails. Okay. Personal work, two emails. I love the right newsletter, because the right newsletter will do one, if not two things. So it's either going to give you great content through curation, mm-hmm. or it's going to give you great content through curation and great original ideas.
Mm.
And it might be in the email newsletter. It might, you have to link out to it and like read it and find it that way. But that's where it all starts for me. So cool. It's, you know, everything from like the new consumer. It's a very interesting, you know, newsletter. It's all
it's like this is an actual one. The new consumer.
I think it's like $200 a year. So most of these acts, by the way, I pay for. This is not like I just.
Oh, so the paid stuff's actually like it's worth it to you.
Oh yeah, like Benedict Evans weekly premium newsletter, $10 a month. Excellent. So those are just two examples, but I get like 12 to 15 of these. Like,
oh, wow.
And I'm like pretty religious in reading all them. And I also like, you know, I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. So basically what I'm getting at is I try to stay on top of all these new ideas, current trends, things that are going on in the world, and create like connections in my mind and how they relate back to something that might be like beneficial to Aramid, to event like growth, like marketing. And I'm just trying to stay educated basically about how people are behaving, thinking, working, traveling, eating, like all these different things, right? Cool. Like for example, the eating thing, right?
Yeah.
More and more people are buying groceries, not just through delivery, but through e-commerce. Like we go, you know, Thrive, wow. Right? Like Thrive Market. Have you heard of Thrive Market?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, my wife loves Thrive Market. Okay. We probably get 20% of our groceries from there, 10 to 20%.
Oh, cool.
And what does that tell me? That tells me when you do a digital event, people will be receptive and like to get things in the mail and engage with them and experience them, because that's a pattern that is forming in people's everyday lives now. So, people did this during the pandemic, but now since the pandemic has ended, it's way trailed off.
Yeah. People aren't sending as much stuff out.
It's like, why don't they keep, and by the way, the cost per attendee for that type of event with that type of experience is way lower than in person.
Yeah.
So 100%. Like, 100%. You know, so I just, that's like a nuanced thing, but like, so like, you know, Dan writes about that. Like that's the new consumer thing example. Right. Cool. So I'm trying to think about like, what are people doing that could be applied to this thing that I'm trying to evangelize? It's related to the product, you know, that I sell, right, as a marketer.
Yeah.
And also just things that are interesting to me, right? Like, you know, of course, there's a lot of talk with Web3, blockchain, AR, VR, NFTs. My God, there's a lot of like noise to the signal, whatever. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what that's all telling me is people are trying to figure out how to engage in a format that is different than what they've been engaging in. That's all that's telling me, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's a truth. I would say it's a truth at this point, right? It's a truth. And there's a lot of different like use cases and you know, outcomes, right, for those different technologies I listed. But at the end of the day, like the truth has been made. It's no longer like, you know, a hypothesis. It's now or just a matter of time of how does it cross the chasm, right? That classic book. Mm-hmm. How does it cross the chasm? And you want to be kind of ready as a business, as an organization, to be at the forefront of when it does cross the chasm. Because if you're a laggard, it's kind of like not going to really do you much good. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's basically what I'm kind of doing with all these things that I read. So like, I think the best place to go to is premium newsletters, trusted news sources, trying to get as unbiased of a perspective of the world as you can. And also just read things that are, you know, make you laugh and are fun too. Right. Does that answer your question? I kind of went down.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is great. I'll help level up for anybody out there who maybe loves newsletters, but, and give you a tip that I have. The premium newsletters, you won't run into this problem as much, but sometimes there's like newsletters you want to subscribe to, but like, I believe like email is meant for email, and I don't want like conversations mixed in with like when I'm trying to learn or read. So I use a tool called Feedly, which is like an RSS reader. And this is a new feature that they added. You can create custom email addresses for specific newsletters, and then it puts those newsletters into your RSS feed. So basically, like it makes it like Feedly is where I usually go to like catch up on my blogs and everything like that. And it's great because then it's mixing in my newsletters. And then what I do is I also star the newsletters I really like. So then that way I make sure, like, even if I'm scrolling through my feed and I miss it or, you know, whatever it is, I can still go back and just be like, oh, I want to check all the Product Hunt for this week, for example. And, you know, I think I've mentioned Product Hunt on this podcast before. I'll give a shout out to X Live. They're really great too. They're like doing a lot of like production-esque, like Web3 forward thinking, what's the future of events. They're killing it on there. And then it's awesome. I actually have your guys' blog starred on here too. I'm looking at my Feedly right now. But another two newsletters I like is CMX Weekly. So I'm like really into the community stuff right now. CMX is killing it in terms of content, talking about community and stuff. I think they have an event coming up. Exploding Topics. There's a couple of these kind of like ones that they track how the Google search results for specific topics are going. And if they see like a sharp increase, they're like, why is a mushroom coffee now popular, you know, and stuff like that. I like that one. And then I'll give one last one, which is one I've been subscribed for a long time. It's Remotive. And now they're a job board and stuff. But Rudolph started off as a newsletter and just does like three articles every couple of days or so about remote work. And I like those newsletters on there too. But I'm definitely and check out the new consumer and Benedict's newsletter as well.
So X Live and Remoto, I've not heard about. I subscribe to the other two. Like,
heck yeah. Always
say, oh yeah. Yep. So
yeah, good ones.
I almost want to do like, I did this like a while back, but like we should take a LinkedIn post. Like, here's the 15 newsletters and here's why I like them. Like, you know.
Oh yeah. 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 That people love that stuff. Like I think like that's where I like look for that. And I look at like, is there ones that I constantly see pop up? But one reason I think one of the things is, like, as soon as you stop wanting to read it all the time, I unsubscribe. Like, who was it for a while? Who's the digital detox guy, the focus work, deep work guy? Cal Newport's newsletter, I think it was 3-2-1. It was like three things he has an idea, two things that he read somewhere else, and one that like a, or a new idea, one of those things. I subscribed for a long time. I liked it a lot, but then it got to the point where I was just like, I don't really like need to read this. So I was just like, detox, like get it out. But like these premium ones are interesting. I've never done a premium newsletter, so I'm really, really curious about it too. So
yeah, premium, I feel like, I don't know. There's some non-premium ones I do too, right? Don't get me wrong, right? Those are not all premium, but the original ideas in some of these, and they summarize things, like Farnham Street is a great one. Cool. And then I actually, it's not, I guess it is a newsletter, but it's through a Medium platform. Every is fantastic. Every.
Ooh, okay.
Every.
It's on Medium blog.
It's a Medium publication. But I just read it through my newsletter, right? Through my feed and my email, I guess, right? That's excellent.
And of course, like I've been using Brave browser, so I searched every Medium, and Brave was just like, I don't understand what the heck you're trying to search. So here we go. Every.2. I'm guessing this is the one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Oh my gosh. You and I can geek out on resources all day long. Okay. So we got 5 minutes left. Mark, like what, like if you had to pick one tip, like everyone, no one listened to this entire episode. They just like come here for the one tip at the like last 5 minutes. What's the one tip you would give for anybody who's out there planning events, thinking about events, anything like that?
It's a lot of pressure. Change your mindset from events to experiences.
Ooh, I like it. Hands down.
Like, and we could unpack that like in 2 minutes, but like, and this goes for all things, digital, in person, everything in between. The event is like the vehicle, but what that's just doing is getting them to experience something, right? Mm-hmm. And that some people watch events on demand and they watch the content on demand, you know, goes for both types, but like you know, the most and the where the magic happens is this like live rawness, right? And like that's just, you know, a shared experience. So how do you create shared experiences between the attendees and put the, and this is my final thought, put the attendees of all of your events at the center of the experiences that you create for them. Like, yeah.
I love it. Amazing. Mark, this has been like such a great episode. Like everybody out there in the audience, let's give big round applause for Mark. No, thank you so much. This is so good. I've absolutely enjoyed. I always enjoy talking to you. So like I'm glad we finally got to do this in front of everybody so they can see all the awesome stuff that you have. And I think like because you've been in MarTech for a little bit of time now we are officially in event tech now. Like we get to formally welcome you to the events industry as well. So we're so happy to have you over on the dark side.
I appreciate it. And like, look, I'm just looking to raise and elevate all of you up. That's the whole point. Like, because event creation and planning is not easy. Now, having done it for over 4 years directly and like millions of dollars and so much at stake and all these things, it's like, let's make the event profession something that everyone in marketing kind of is part of, can do in some way, you know, and elevate it. Elevated all the way to the CEO. And like, because like, look, I mean, probably the biggest proponent of event-led growth. Can you guess the biggest proponent of event-led growth? That's a SaaS business that's been around for a long time.
Oh, like a specific SaaS business that's been pushing for this?
A CEO, a person. A specific SaaS business that's probably the biggest proponent of event-led growth.
Dude, that's just like an obvious answer. Like it's probably someone at HubSpot.
No, not HubSpot.
No, HubSpot.
Mark Benioff.
Oh, yeah. From Salesforce. Yeah.
If you read his books about how they've done things, especially in the early days, it was extremely event-driven, and it was a small event, then a regional event, and these were all in person at the time, right? Yeah. Maybe a webinar or two in between, and then they did Dreamforce, which was the closing event. Mm. That is event-led growth pretty much at its finest. Mm-hmm. That was his strategy. So anyways, Mark Benioff.
Well, damn, we're gonna have to get Mark on the show now. I was sure. I don't know if I can make that ask happen. That we've been trying to get some high up people sometimes, and I think Mark might be a little bad reach. But if anyone out there is listening, we're gonna get Mark on the show, okay. And then we'll get you as well. And we'll have Mark versus Mark on the podcast.
That'd be pretty special. I don't know.
That'd be a good one. Well, we do have to wrap up. Thank you, everybody, so much for being here. All our audience members, you guys are awesome so much. Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. If you guys had a great time, leave some comments and love for Mark in the comments down below. But I think we're going to get out of here and get back to driving some growth from our events, shall we?
Let's go, Will. Let's go. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Awesome. See you guys all later. We'll see you next time on Event Icons.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode, share your biggest takeaway, and just tag your social media posts with Hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on Hashtag Event Icons.